church. We're so glad you've come to worship with us today. We invite you to stand and let's just come before him with joyful songs and praise, for he deserves it.
To our God we lift up one song. To our God we lift up one song.
starting to rise. Oh, death is defeated. We are victorious, for you are alive. He's alive. To our God we lift up one voice. To our God we lift up one song. To our God we lift up one voice.
Unconditionally. Thank you, Jesus.
in the kingdom of light, in the kingdom of light. Forever under your dominion, you're the king of my life, you're the king of my life. You reign above it all, you reign above. You poured out your life just to give us new life. Thank you, Jesus. Now from the lips of the forgiven, hear an anthem arise. It's Jesus, you're alive. Oh, you reign above it all. You reign above it all. Over the
God before him. He deserves all of our praise
For he is good, and his goodness runs after us, even when we don't deserve it. He reigns forevermore. He reigns yesterday, today, and forever. Thank you, Jesus. Our God reigns. Our God reigns forever. Your kingdom reigns. Do you believe that? Our God reigns. Let's sing to him. Our God reigns forever. Heart's desires. You know our needs, Lord. You provide for them even before we ask. So we just thank you for your goodness that runs after us wherever we go. We give you glory and honor and praise, for you deserve all our praise. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Come on, let's give him praise. Hallelujah. God bless you, church. You can sit down and turn, greet one another, and you may be seated.
Hey, everyone. We are so glad you're joining us. Whether you're with us online or in person, here are a few things you need to know. There are a lot of great things happening at Harvest Time. Here are a few ways you can get involved right now. To check out all the things that are going on, scan the QR code or visit htchurch.com.
Have you joined one of our serve teams? We have a lot of opportunities for you to get involved. Scan the QR code or visit our Connect desk in the lobby to find out more.
If you would like to give, you can visit us at htchurch.com. Click on Give at the top of the page or use our Realm Connect app to set up reoccurring giving. Or give at any time using the Harvest Time offering envelopes.
We have so many opportunities to believe, belong, and be light. For more information on all things Harvest Time, meet us at the Connect desk. We love you, Harvest Time, and have an amazing week.
Harvest Time Church for donating 36,000 meals to Dnipro. Because of your generous donation, we will be able to feed thousands of people for months. With the growing number of refugees, which now stands at 170,000 in Dnipro, food is of utmost importance. We can't thank you enough.
Amen. Isn't that an awesome report? Praise God. God is good. Well, God bless you, everybody. Welcome to Harvest Time. It's great to be together in the Lord's presence today. I want to thank the worship team for bringing us to the feet of Jesus in worship. We're worshiping the one who reigns forever and ever. Amen. The Bible says of the increase of his government and peace, there will be no end. Amen. We also want to welcome everybody who's watching us on YouTube this morning, worshiping with us online. We hope that you'll subscribe. And if you're in the area, please come and join us for worship in person as well. Want to remind all of our moms and dads, in the 9 o'clock service, we have ministry for all of your kids up through the age of 4. And in this service, there is ministry for all children up through the 5th grade. There's always nursery care available for your infants and your toddlers in all of our services. Life groups for our students in grades 6 through 12 meet just about now at 11 o'clock, just a few moments. The ushers are going to be coming shortly to wait on us for our giving, and we want to thank you for all of your loving financial support of Harvest Time. Thanks for being faithful in the Lord's tithe. We know that God encourages us to give in his word. The Apostle Paul said, "My God shall supply all your need according to his riches and glory by Jesus Christ." Here's the good news, or the better news about that. God's supply is not according to our need. And listen, it's not even according to what we think is possible. Amen. It's according to the measure of the riches of God. So as we sow this morning into God's kingdom, let's sow in faith and let's trust God for a bountiful harvest. You can use the envelope that's in your program this morning to give in a few different ways. You can give by a check made payable to Harvest Time Church. You can give using a debit card or a credit card, and if you like to give that way, just please make sure we have all of the numbers, all of the information for the card. If you're giving cash and you'd like to receive credit for your gifts, again, please make sure that you provide us with your information. Online giving is very easy to do, very secure. You can give anytime through our Realm app or give through our website at htchurch.com. Just use the giving link that's right on the top of the homepage, or you can give by text if you like, and instructions on how to give that way are on the screens for you. A couple of things for you very quickly. Inside your program this morning, you might have noticed that we have given you a life groups survey, a life groups survey. We're so thankful to the Lord for the success of our life groups here at HTC, but we're always wanting to make life groups better, and we would love for even more of you to participate. We've got hundreds of people right now who are involved in fellowship and learning throughout the week, but I know that some of you are missing out. So we want to hear from you. At some point today or in the next few days, would you mind filling out that survey for us? You can let us know on the survey form about what's your current participation in life groups, and also a bit about what types of groups you might want to participate in. Maybe it's also been on your heart, been on your mind to start a group of some kind. And if that's you, we would like to hear about that also. We are looking for more interest groups. So maybe when the good weather rolls back around, maybe you'd like to start a group that's devoted to hiking or bicycling or all kinds of outdoor activities. There's a basket that's going to be in the back of the sanctuary after service where you can leave your survey. So help us to help you and help us to help others who will be able to benefit from life groups, and we can all grow together in friendship and in faith. Don't forget, our children's choir production is coming up next weekend. It's called Straight Out of Bethlehem. You know, we have a kids' choir that has 50 voices this year. Isn't that awesome? And we've got a bunch of wonderful preteens and teens who are going to be cast, who are going to be dancers. First performance is coming up this coming Saturday right here at 6 p.m. And then there's going to be another performance on Sunday morning, week from today, during our second service, during this service at 10:30. We're so thankful to the Lord for Libna Gosselin and her team who've been directing our kids. And we hope that you'll come invite somebody next weekend. It's going to be a lot of fun. To ask the ushers to come and wait on us now for our giving. While the ushers are coming, just mark your calendars for Christmas. Christmas Eve, we're going to be worshiping here together in a single service, one service at 4 p.m., and then Sunday morning, Christmas Day, we'll be here together in a single service at 10:30 a.m. Let's go to the Lord in prayer, and let's invite the Father's blessing. Heavenly Father, we come to you now in the beautiful name of Jesus, your Son. Lord, we acknowledge you this morning as the one who gives us life and health and strength to labor. Lord, we thank you that you've adopted us as your children through Jesus Christ. Your word says that you love a cheerful giver. So we come with joy now to sow into your kingdom. Lord, as we're giving, we're also trusting you by faith to bless our households. And by faith, we also cast all of our cares upon you because we know that you care for us. Multiply this seed now to meet the needs of this, your house. And Lord, help us to partner with you to reach our region and reach the world with the love of Jesus Christ. If you agree with that, just say amen and amen. God bless you as you give this morning.
Need something that comes from heaven. The task is too great. Your return is too soon. Eternity is too long to play games. God, do what you want done today. That these men and women are prepared for the future and that your name is glorified.
We really believe that trained men and women are really going to be able to reach today's generation. Really emphasize building the character of someone, and that person can go out and do ministry. The greatest thing we can do for our students is to build their confidence, give them some experience, and then graduate them debt-free so they can go absolutely anywhere God leads them to go without having to worry about the financial debt from being trained for ministry.
I knew this was the right decision and where God was calling me just from the peace I have from being here and the presence that God has in this place and the community aspect of the school in general.
I really would say the school is unified. I mean, that's a big thing obviously in the church world today, and it really feels like the school's like a family. And when you go to a dorm, even though you mess with each other, it's still that bond like you have with a brother. And you can experience that when you come to faith, is that you would all love each other and just seeking after God.
From classrooms to going to the chapel, everything here is just centered around getting to know God more, and then from that, learning how to reach out to other people and share God with them.
Really prepares you for whatever you want to do in life, right? Wherever God is going to place you, whether it's in traditional ministry or non-traditional ministry, I think the most important thing they do here is with spiritual growth and helping you to grow from the inside out.
You learn it in the classroom and then you get to do it hands-on, and that really has solidified it for me so that I will feel confident going out into the ministry once I graduate here, that I know what I'm doing, but I'm also leaning upon the Holy Spirit to do what God's called me to do.
Just having those opportunities to where you truly get to go out and be the hands and feet of Jesus. You have those opportunities to meet people where they're at and show them the love of Jesus. Like, I've gotten to do a clothing and food drive. I've got to preach before. I've gotten to do all these different things to where I truly do get to be the hands and feet of Jesus here on earth. So many times you say, after these 4 years, I get to start my ministry or this and that, but you truly start your ministry the first day you walk in.
God bless you. Good morning, everyone. Great to see you. So glad that you've come to worship the Lord with us today. Faith Bible College is my alma mater in Charleston, Maine, just outside of Bangor, Maine, and they have enrollment open right now for spring of 2023 and fall of 2023. Their commitment is to help every graduate to finish school debt-free so that they can go out into the ministry. And if you'd like information about Faith Bible College, there's some information on the Connect desk, and you can stop by and pick it up. If you have your Bible or your Bible app, turn with me to the book of Philippians chapter 4. Philippians chapter 4. Gonna start reading from verse 10 today. Want to share with you about partnership in giving and receiving. Philippians chapter 4. Last Tuesday was Giving Tuesday, and Christmas is the season of giving. So during the month of December, we're just asking everyone that's part of our HTC family to prayerfully consider making your best gift to our congregation before the end of this year. If you've fallen behind in your tithes a little bit during the year, would you take the opportunity in December to get caught up? Or maybe you'd like to make an extra gift before the end of the year. We have a big year ahead in 2023. Next year is our 40th anniversary as a congregation. And the Lord has put some very special things on my heart for next year. I can't wait to start sharing. Something special is going to happen as one generation, 40 years is a generation in the Bible, and as one generation blesses the next generation, I know that God's going to do something special. So we just need your gifts to finish this year in the black, to start 2023 with a healthy surplus on our general fund so that we can do what God has entrusted to us to do. But let's talk for a few minutes this morning about partnership in giving and receiving. Philippians chapter 4, starting in verse 10, the Apostle Paul says, "I rejoice greatly in the Lord that at last you renewed your concern for me. Indeed, you were concerned, but you didn't have the opportunity to show it until now. I'm not saying this because I'm in need, for I have learned to be content, whatever the circumstances. I know what it is to be in need, and I know what it is to have plenty. I have learned the secret of being content in any and every situation, whether well-fed or hungry, whether living in plenty or in want. I can do all things through Christ, who gives me strength. Yet it was good of you to share in my troubles. Moreover, as you Philippians know, in the early days of your acquaintance with the gospel, when I set out for Macedonia, not one church shared with me in the matter of giving and receiving, except you only. For even when I was in Thessalonica, you sent me aid more than once when I was in need. Not that I desire your gifts. What I desire is what may be credited to your account. I have received full payment, and I have more than enough. I am amply supplied. Now that I have received from Epaphroditus the gifts that you sent, they are a fragrant offering, an acceptable sacrifice, pleasing to God. And my God shall supply all your needs according to his riches in Jesus Christ. To our God and Father be glory forever and ever. Amen." Let's talk about partnership in giving and receiving. In 1999, when we were gearing up to build our first building on this campus, I had lunch with a wonderful older pastor friend. He was once the lead pastor of the largest Southern Baptist church in the country. And he came to help us gather the funds for our first building on this campus. During that lunch, there were two seeds that he planted in my heart. The first was a seed of correction. Being that we're located in such a unique community with so many very wealthy people, many of us, myself included, had this misguided pie in the sky idea that God was going to move on the heart of some multimillionaire and he or she was just going to write a check that would pay for our whole project.
I hadn't voiced that to my friend, but the Holy Spirit prompted him to give me this word. He said, Glenn, whatever God is going to do at harvest time, he's going to do through the people of harvest time. God wants you all to grow in your faith. He wants you all to sacrifice, to learn about sowing and reaping and receive miracles. He said to me, God may use some unexpected donors at some point, but God's not going to show you his best until you show him your best. Can I tell you that that was, is it all right if I share this with you? That was a painful, but a very necessary attitude adjustment. Truthfully, our attitude was a little lazy and irresponsible. Let someone else do it. When God was saying, no, I called you to do it, and I'm going to enable you to do it. And sure enough, as we began sowing, God began showing up with all kinds of miracles. If I started to tell you all, we'd be here all day. There were people that gave checks for $30,000, $50,000, who never thought they could give so much. Many people received bonuses completely unexpected in the exact amount that they had pledged to give towards our new building. Other people received inheritances completely unexpected in the exact amount that they had pledged to our building. That happened to Denise and me personally twice, two times. We received inheritances that we had no idea that we were going to get, and it was exactly what we had committed to give to the building. And our faith grew. The second seed that he planted in my heart was a seed of encouragement. My friend said to me, Glenn, whenever you ask people to give sacrificially to build, there will always be some people who refuse to participate for whatever reason. He said, don't worry about them, just leave them to God. And then he pointed out something from the book of Nehemiah that I had never noticed before. In Nehemiah chapter 3, there were some people who refused to participate in the rebuilding of the city of Jerusalem. Among them were the princes of a suburb called Tekoa. But the townspeople of Tekoa rallied and they completed their section of the wall without the help of their leaders. And then the men of Tekoa went on and they completed a second section of the wall. They started with a deficit, but they did twice as much as everybody else. And the seed of encouragement that my friend planted in my heart that day, he said, Glenn, there will always be some people that refuse to participate for whatever reason, but God is going to give you men and women of Tekoa who will not only do their part, but will pick up the slack and do someone else's part as well. I have to say that we have found those words to be so true. Over 25 years, we did 7 capital campaigns to buy this land and to build these 2 buildings. And some of y'all been here for all 7 of those capital campaigns. God bless you. And every campaign, there were some who just refused to participate. But there were others, men and women of Tekoa, that did more. And that's why in every campaign, this congregation gave more than what was pledged. Come on, that's amazing right there. The believers in the city of Philippi were precisely those kind of people. They were men and women of Tekoa. When others did little or nothing, the Philippians did more. And they didn't do it just once. They kept doing it over and over again. In the early days of Paul's ministry, the Philippians were the first church to begin to send him missionary support on the field. Although they themselves were suffering extreme economic persecution because of their faith in Christ, they sent support to Paul while he was preaching in Thessalonica. Listen, Paul had planted dozens of other churches in Syria and in Turkey that were well established. The Philippians were the newest church. They were the babies in Christ, but they were the first ones to send support to Paul on the field. When Paul went to wealthy Corinth, they sent support to Paul there. Can you imagine? They were suffering so much. And in a wealthy, that would be like the persecuted believers in Pakistan sending money for the ministry of the gospel here in Greenwich, of all places. When Paul was preparing to leave the city of Corinth to carry an offering to the suffering believers in the city of Jerusalem, the Philippians begged to participate in that offering. Paul had decided, because they were suffering so much, he had decided not to burden them by asking them to give. But when they heard about the offering, they pleaded for the opportunity to give. Can you imagine? Some believers are offended when they're asked to give, but the Philippians, they considered it a privilege. For almost 3 years, Paul was inaccessible. He was in Roman custody, first in Israel and then on a transport ship on his way to Rome. But as soon as the Philippians found out that he was in Rome, at the very first opportunity, they sent a generous offering, a gift through Epaphroditus, and they sent Epaphroditus to stay there in the city and serve Paul and wait on his needs. Beloved, can I tell you, this is what harvest time is like. And it's what I want us to continue to be like. I want us to be men and women of Tekoa. When others refuse to give, I want us to give more. I want us to be the first to give. When others get offended by an offering, I want us to consider it a privilege to participate in it. My prayer is that God would make us like the Philippian church, a place with giving hearts. Looking at Paul's final words to the Philippians, I want to share five truths with you quickly about partnership in giving and receiving. And when I say five truths quickly, I mean sit back and rest a while. I want to share five truths about partnership in giving from Philippians 4. On your way in, you received an outline of today's sermon. And if you like, you can listen, fill in the blanks, follow along. Five truths about giving from Philippians 4. The first is this: your giving is a special partnership in the gospel. Your giving is a special partnership in the gospel. The whole occasion for this little letter was for Paul to say thank you. In Roman prison, meals and clothing and medicine and necessities were not supplied by the government. There was no coupon for the complimentary breakfast buffet when you checked into Roman prison. If your family and your friends didn't support you, you would die. So the Philippian gift to Paul was absolutely critical. But here in Philippians 4, his thank you almost reads like a thanks but no thanks. Paul says, I burst into praise when I received your gift, but I would have been just fine with or without it. Nevertheless, it was good of you to send it. What kind of thank you note is that? Can you imagine if I sent you a note at the end of this year? Thank you for your giving to Harvest Time in 2022. We would have been just fine with or without it. Nevertheless, it was good of you. I will never write you a letter like that. I promise you, I never will. Why did Paul write that way? It's not that he was ungrateful. It's not that their gift wasn't a huge and timely blessing. It absolutely was. It's that Paul wanted to teach his Philippian sheep some spiritual principles. Far more than the good that their gift did for Paul, Paul is excited about the good that their giving was going to do for them. Paul says, not that I desire your gifts. What I desire is that compound interest will accrue in your heavenly account. Paul is saying, this gift is going to bless you even more than it has blessed me. And it's true. Beloved, listen to me. Your giving to the Lord blesses you even more than the ministries that you give to. Paul says that's a promise you can take to the bank. Beloved, listen to me. Giving to the church, giving to the ministry of the gospel, giving to the mission of the gospel is unlike any other kind of giving on earth. Giving to the gospel is different than compassion giving. It's different than charity. It's different than benevolence. It's different than philanthropy. It's different than patronage of the arts. Giving to the gospel is different than supporting good causes. All of those things are noble. All of those things are good, but they're self-selected and self-directed and self-fulfilling, and in some cases, self-promoting if we receive applause of others for our giving. But giving to the gospel is different altogether. Giving to the gospel is spiritual. It is a spiritual act with spiritual outcomes. Giving to the gospel is a spiritual transaction with spiritual returns. Paul uses the language of banking and investment here to describe the Philippians' giving as heavenly transactions. Giving to the gospel is to enter into a special friendship partnership with God. One of my ultimate heroes in my life is my father-in-law. He grew up on a farm in Alberta, Canada in the 1930s. One of the many things that I admire about my father-in-law is that he can fix absolutely anything. You see, when something broke on the farm, there was no other option but to fix it. So if something's broken, if you give my father-in-law a piece of wire, I guarantee you he will fix it. As a young man, Dad moved to Toronto and someone gave him a broken down old printing press. Dad fixed it up and he got it running and he started a printing company with his cousin Stan. And the Lord abundantly blessed their friendship partnership. When I met Denise, their printing company had grown into a massive warehouse of enormous printing presses that ran 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. For almost 60 years, Dad and Uncle Stan have worked together in perfect harmony. They're brothers, they're best friends, they're business partners. My mother-in-law used to joke that they're like an old married couple. They couldn't go by a single day without speaking to each other on the phone. When they sold the printing company, they launched a ministry together, and they've done some amazing things for the Lord in Ukraine. That's my father-in-law there in the center of that photo, and Uncle Stan is off to the right. There's a very young Ben Harvison between them. We're standing on the balcony of a seminary and a church they built in Lviv, Ukraine, that holds 3,000 people. I'm like, really, Dad? You could build a 3,000-seater in Lviv, but you couldn't help us build a 3,000-seater here in Greenwich? That seminary reaches thousands and thousands of Muslim people for the Lord. They broadcast from Lviv, Ukraine into, I call it the stands, Uzbekistan, Kazakhstan, Tajikistan, and they equip ministers. They send the gospel by radio waves to places that missionaries can't go, but radio beams can. And maybe Dad and Uncle Stan's partnership is a good picture of the word koinonia, fellowship, in the book of Philippians. Paul says that by their giving, the Philippians have become friendship partners in the gospel. Just like Dad and Uncle Stan, the Philippians have become brothers, best friends, business partners, rolled into one. I thank my God, Philippians 1:3, every time I remember you because of your koinonia, because of your fellowship, your friendship partnership in the gospel. Philippians 4:14, it was good of you to share koinonia in my troubles, to friendship partnership with me in my troubles. Philippians 4:16, as you yourself know, in the early days, not one church shared, not one church koinonia, fellowship, partnership with me in the matter of giving and receiving, except you. Beloved, listen to me. When you give to the gospel, you enter into a special friendship, partnership with none other than God Himself. Giving isn't just lightly dropping $20 in the offering plate. It ushers us into a closer friendship with God. It deepens our bond with Him. It ushers us into a working relationship with Him that is guaranteed to be productive and profitable. What if Warren Buffett called you up and he said, "I want to become your exclusive business partner. I will bring all the capital to the table. I will bring all my investing experience and knowledge, all my business experience. I will bring all my relationships. I'll bring all my contacts. The only thing you have to do is to agree to split the profit 90-10. You get to keep 90% and you give 10% back to the partnership." Who would take that deal if you got that call from Warren Buffett? Can I tell you, that's the deal that God has put on the table with us in giving to the gospel. We enter into koinonia. We enter into a friendship partnership with Him. Five truths about giving from Philippians 4. You doing all right? All right. Number two, your giving is, I like this one, your giving is one way to know Christ in the fellowship of His sufferings. Your giving is one way to know Christ in the fellowship of His sufferings. Philippians 3 is one of the most powerful, passionate passages in the whole Bible. "But whatever things I once considered credits, I now consider debits for the sake of Christ. What's more, I consider everything a debit compared to the surpassing greatness of knowing Christ as my Savior and Lord, for whose sake I have lost all things. Yes, listen," Paul says, "I have given them away that I might gain Christ." Beloved, listen to me. Paul not only regarded his material possessions as unimportant, he actually divested himself of his assets. You know, it's one thing to say, this doesn't mean very much to me. It's another thing altogether to give it away. I want to know Christ. Yes, I want to know Him in the power of His resurrection and in the fellowship of His sufferings, being made like Him in His death. To know Christ in the power of His resurrection means to be born again. It means I experience new life inside and inner resurrection through faith in Him. To know Christ in the fellowship of His suffering means to live the crucified life like Jesus did. It means to live in complete humility and submission and obedience to the Father like Jesus did. And one way we do that is through our giving. Giving is a sacrifice. It costs me something. It requires me to deny myself and take up my cross and die to self. Giving might require that I put off doing something I want to do. It might require that I give something up. It might require that I do with a little less, or God forbid, do without for a little bit. Giving is an act of obedience and humble submission. In Philippians 4:18, Paul says that our giving is a fragrant offering. He uses the same word in Ephesians 5:2 of Jesus' offering on the cross. So listen, when we give sacrificially, we're entering into the fellowship of suffering with the One who gave Himself for us. Five truths about giving from Philippians 4. Your giving is partnership in the gospel. It's a way to know Christ in the fellowship of His suffering. Third, I like this, your giving is a heavenly investment. Your giving is a heavenly investment. Beloved, giving to the gospel is unlike any other giving on earth. Paul uses the language of banking to tell us so. He says, your giving has done more good for you than it's done for me. Not that I desire your gifts, but I desire that compound interest might accumulate in your heavenly account. Beloved, please listen to me. Every gift that you have ever given, every tithe that you've returned, every missions offering, every building fund offering, every benevolence offering, every compassion offering, every love offering that you've ever shared into a minister, every shoebox that you filled, 8,500 100 shoeboxes from this location in 2022. Come on, that's amazing. Every meal you packed for Ukraine, 36,000 meals that we sent to Dnipro, Ukraine. I preached there in 2008 and the church was on fire. Every square foot that you contributed to for Koshi Baby's building where he feeds 5,000 children every day. Do you know we gave $26,000 towards that new building a couple weeks ago? 400 and something square feet, you do the math. Every offering you've ever given has gone into an account in heaven with your name on it. And while you're living out your life here on earth for Christ, that account is accruing compound interest. I wonder what the interest rate is in heaven. 20%? No. The economy of heaven, it's always expanding. It never contracts. It is always a bull market in heaven. There are no market corrections, only unlimited growth. Actually, Jesus said in Matthew 13, the low end of interest in the kingdom of heaven is 3,000%. The mid-range of interest in the kingdom of heaven is 6,000%. And the upper range of interest in the kingdom of heaven is 10,000%. While you're living out your life for Jesus, your giving to the Lord is earning you 10,000% compound interest up above. Ever thought about this? What will we do with treasure in heaven? What need will we have for treasure in a place where the streets are paved with gold? What need will we have for treasure in a city whose foundations are layer after layer after layer of precious stones? Do you know what the best job in heaven is going to be? It's going to be a ditch digger. Today we're digging through the diamond strata, and then we're going to dig through the sapphire strata, and the emerald strata, and the onyx strata, and the aquamarine strata. Your wife will be so happy to see you come home covered in dirt. Honey, we made a fortune today. What need will we have for treasure in a place where God himself has prepared a mansion for us? There are no mortgage payments in heaven. There's no rent. There's no homeowner's insurance. There's no maintenance in heaven. Thank you, Jesus. What need will we have for treasure in a place lit by the radiance of God himself? There are no heat bills in heaven. There are no light bills in heaven. What need will we have for treasure in a place where God himself serves us food at his banqueting table and the trees bear fruit 12 months out of the year? Good news, there are no grocery bills in heaven. You know what my wife and I call Whole Foods? Whole paycheck. What need will we have for treasure in a place where we'll live in glorified bodies, clothed in splendor, that never get injured or grow old or get sick? There is no clothes shopping in heaven. There will be no hair and nail salons in heaven, no gym memberships in heaven. Thank you, Jesus. There will be no insurance premiums. There's no medical copayments in heaven. There are no expenses in heaven. There are no social classes in heaven. Oh, won't that be heaven? Nobody to impress in heaven. No Joneses to keep up with in heaven. Everybody is a Jones. So what will we do with all this treasure? The Bible says that we're going to use that treasure to heap more honor on Jesus. We're going to lay our treasure at his nail-scarred feet, and we're going to say, Jesus, this is all in honor of you. I laid up this treasure with my sacrifices on earth because you are worthy of it all. And don't you want a worthy treasure to lay at his feet that day? Don't you want to present him with a gift of beauty and value that expresses the depth of your love for him? On your 25th wedding anniversary or your 50th wedding anniversary, would you present your love with a ring from a Cracker Jack box? Here, honey, This is to thank you for all the years of love and passion and commitment and dedication. Here's a beautiful Cracker Jack ring for you. Don't be embarrassed at his throne because all you have to give him is a Cracker Jack ring. Ever shown up at a party with a gift that wasn't really adequate enough for the occasion? Shortly after Denise and I moved here in 1996, we attended our first Italian wedding. And we showed up at the wedding reception with a wrapped gift. What do I know? I'm an Irish-German mutt from Philly. My wife is a Ukrainian from Toronto, and nobody could have done us the service of telling us that you never show up at an Italian wedding with a wrapped present. You show up with an envelope. I forget what we bought, something nice from the registry. It was in kind of a big box, and so here I am walking into the wedding reception, and I'm looking for the gift table. I'm looking for the pile of presents, and there is none. And that's when I learned my first Italian word, scumbari, because that's what we were. We were an embarrassment. Listen, I don't want you to be scumbari at the marriage supper of the Lamb. I don't want to bump into you and find you red-faced at the reception because you lived a self-indulgent life on earth and you didn't lay up any treasure in heaven to lavish on Jesus. I don't want you to approach his throne empty-handed. You had the house, you had the toys, the cars, the motorcycles, you had the boats, the vacations. You dropped more on bottles of wine at dinner than you ever put in the offering plate because you thought the church had plenty of money. You're going to show up at the marriage supper of the Lamb with a Cracker Jack ring to present to Jesus. Meanwhile, I want to tell you some of our immigrant brothers and sisters who work so hard, have given many thousands and thousands of dollars to God's kingdom, and their gifts are accumulating 3,000 and 6,000 and 10,000% compound interest. This is in my notes. I'm going to go off road, and I always get in trouble when I go off road. We were building the first building. We had people bring us sacrificial offerings. I don't know, by the way, just so you know, I don't know what anybody gives to Harvest Time Church. I know what comes in every week and every month and every year, but I don't know what anybody gives individually. Biggest gift we ever got was $750,000, and I don't know who gave it, so if it was you from the bottom of my heart, thank you. But we had a handful of young couples bring us checks, $30,000, $50,000. It was everything they had saved up for a down payment on a house. And beloved, listen, when somebody hands you a check like that, you receive it with trembling hands. It's holy. I said to them, are you sure? Are you absolutely sure that this is what you want to do, that this is what the Lord has asked you to do? Every one of those couples that did that, by the time we were finished building that building, owned beautiful homes in Greenwich that God had opened up the door and supplied for them. Is it all right if I tell you this stuff? Is it okay? But one woman came to me, Filipino woman. She already worked two jobs. She worked one job. She moved here as an adult. She worked one job to support herself here in town. And the second job, she worked to send money back to her family in Philippines. And when we started raising money for the building, she took a third job cleaning. And after a while, she brought me an envelope with $7,000 cash in it that she made on her hands and knees cleaning. Wasn't the largest amount that we received for that building, but I want to tell you, it was the most precious gift I think that we received for that building. 5 truths about giving from Philippians 4. Number 4, your giving is fragrant worship that pleases God. It's fragrant worship that pleases God. Giving to the church, giving to the gospel, it's unlike any other kind of giving on earth. It is a spiritual act of worship. In the Old Testament, God's people brought livestock. They brought commodities, grain and wine, oil. The Bible says that the smell of the burning animal sacrifices smelled good to God. But I want to tell you, it wasn't the roast that smelled good to God. It was the smell of their worship. Today we bring offerings in the form of dollars and other assets, but what pleases the Lord is not the smell of money. What pleases the Lord is the fragrance of our worship. Beloved, listen, when you give to the Lord, you're giving not to men. You're giving directly to God. He's the recipient. He's the one that you're honoring. Your giving is an indication of your spiritual health. Jesus said that our giving or lack of giving reveals what we really treasure in our heart. It reveals whether we really treasure ourselves or whether we treasure Him. It reveals whether our focus is earthly things or heavenly things. The reason Paul was so overjoyed by the Philippians' gift was not so much the help it brought him, although it was a big help. He was happy because that it is an indication that they were still passionately pursuing Jesus, that the good work that God had begun in them, he was carrying forward. My prayer is that our giving here at HTC would testify the same about us. Five truths about giving from Philippians 4. Final truth, and we're done. Finally, this worship team, you can come help me. Your giving brings both a proportionate and a disproportionate response from heaven. Your giving brings both a proportionate and a disproportionate response from heaven. Beloved, giving to the church, giving to the ministry of the gospel is unlike any other kind of giving. It brings a proportionate response from heaven. God responds to your generosity with his generosity. Jesus taught this principle, and it's reinforced all over the scripture. God blesses us with his provision proportionate to how generously we give to him. One day, Jesus sat across from the temple treasury, and he watched people putting their offerings in. Mark actually writes that Jesus sat against the treasury. It means he sat as a judge, weighing the giving of the people. Jesus watched people depositing various sums of money until along came a widow who put in two tiny copper coins. They're called lepton. I have two of those coins in my office that someone gave me a long time ago. They're smaller than a shirt button, and they're worth just a fraction of a penny. And when that widow put in those two tiny copper coins, Jesus said, "There it is. That's what I've been waiting for." He called the disciples together and he said all the others gave a bit out of their wealth, but she out of her need gave everything she had. Beloved, can I tell you that God weighs our giving? What he's looking at is not the dollar amount per se, but what we've given generously to him in proportion to how much we have. And he weighs our generosity and he blesses it proportionately. Jesus said, "Give and it will be given back to you, a good measure, pressed down, shaken together, running over. For with the same measure you use, it will be measured back to you." Do you want God to bless your career? Do you want him to bless your business? Do you want him to bless your assets, your property, your buying and selling? Do you want him to bless your retirement and your kids' future? Be generous with God. Listen, take it from the guy. God helped us somehow. We built a $24 million building for less than $14 million in the most expensive construction market in the country. Take it from me. It always pays to be generous with God. Finally, this, and we're done. Your generosity brings a disproportionate response from heaven. Paul's little letter to the Philippians closes with another one of the best loved promises of the Bible. "And my God shall supply all your needs according to his riches in glory." If you're new to Harvest Time Church, I'm going to teach you something new and then we're done. and my God shall supply all your needs. But look at how God supplies them. And my God shall supply all your needs, kata to. It's Greek. It means in proportion to. My God shall supply all your needs in proportion to what? In proportion to your needs? No. And my God shall supply all your needs, kata to, in proportion to his riches in glory. In other words, for the generous, God supplies your needs not in proportion to what you need, but he supplies your needs in proportion to his gracious ability to provide. Listen to what that looks like, and then we're done. The Apostle Paul to the Corinthians, remember this. Whoever sows sparingly shall also reap sparingly, and whoever sows generously shall also reap generously. And God is able to make all grace abound to you, so that at all times, in all things, having all you need, you will abound in every good work. Now he who supplies seed to the sower and bread to the eater will also supply and increase your store of seed and will enlarge the harvest of your righteousness. That means you'll have enough to give and you'll have enough to live. You'll be made rich in every way so that you can be generous on every occasion, and your generosity will result in thanksgiving to God. God responds in proportion to our generosity, but when he responds, his response is disproportionately good. May God give us all grace to become his partners in giving and receiving. Would you stand on your feet and give Jesus, the King of Kings and Lord of Lords, a great big praise in this place today? Oh, come on, don't give him a little praise. Give him a great big praise in this place today. Lift up your faces, lift up your hands. Let's sing, "You Reign Above It All, Jesus." Let's sing. Just one moment for our final act of worship. We're going to share the Lord's Supper together. If you didn't receive a serving of communion, the ushers are coming. Just wait a minute, guys. Not yet. We have two of the best dressed ushers in all of Greenwich this morning at harvest time.
just before we receive the Lord's Supper together, I want us to just pray. Everybody look at me for just a second. God doesn't need your money. He owns the cattle on 1,000 hills. And he owns the hills. He doesn't need your money. He wants your heart. Would you offer your heart to him today? Would you just take your hand and put it over your heart? Would you just offer your heart to him, your whole self to him? Come on, just tell him, Jesus, I just give my whole self to you. Everything I am, everything I have, all my dreams, all my aspirations, all my plans, Lord, all my ability, my family, my business affairs. Lord, I just offer my whole self to you, everything to you, Jesus. Come on, he gave his whole self for us. Let's just respond by offering our whole self back to him. Father, thank you for your beautiful people. Thank you that you've called us out of darkness into your marvelous light. Lord, thank you that you've blessed us. Thank you that you've cared for us. Thank you, Lord, that you've brought us this far. Thank you that you've opened your hand, Lord, and you've supplied for all of our needs. And Lord, not only of our needs, but thank you that you've supplied some of our wants as well. Our hearts just overflow with gratitude for you today. And Lord, we just offer our whole selves to you, body, soul, spirit. Lord, our thoughts, Lord, our assets, Lord, our families, our business, Lord, everything we have. Lord, we just entrust it to you. We offer all of ourselves to you. Thank you for offering all of yourself for us on the cross. If your heart agrees with that, would you just say amen and amen. Thank you, Lord. Let's receive communion together. If you didn't receive communion on the way in, I want you to just put up your hand real high, and our ushers are going to come and find. We have some people down here on the side aisles, some folks down here in the front over on that side. Just hold up your hand real high, and the ushers will make their way to you. Keep your hand up till they find you. Let's sing while they're doing that. What can wash away my sin?
What can wash away?
Apostle Paul wrote to the Corinthians, I received from the Lord that which I also pass on to you, that the Lord Jesus, on the night he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, this is my body, which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me. In the same way, after supper, Jesus took the cup, saying, this cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this whenever you drink it in remembrance of me. For whenever you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes. Let's give thanks. Father, thank you that you so loved us, that you gave Jesus, your only son. Thank you that because he was broken, we are made whole. Thank you that because his body was broken, we are now the body of Christ, the family of God. Thank you for the precious blood of Jesus that washes away every sin stain. And thank you, Lord, that you not only wash away the guilt of our past, but you cleanse us from unrighteousness so that we can live holy lives for you. Father, thank you for your beautiful people.
Lord, I pray that as we receive today, Lord, joyfulness would overflow in our hearts, the peace of Christ, the blessings and goodness of God. We thank you in Jesus' name. If your heart agrees, would you say amen and amen. Let's receive communion together. You can receive the bread, and after the bread, receive the cup. After the bread, go ahead and receive the cup. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Come on, church. Would you just offer him a little bit of thanksgiving right now? Would you just worship him? We thank you, O Lord. We worship you, Lord. Refresh your people, Jesus. Refresh your people. Renew your people. Restore your people. Give hope to your people. Give help to your people. Open doors. Protect your people, Lord. Watch over them, Jesus. Watch over our children and our grandchildren, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Father. Come on, church, just give them a little thanks, would you? We thank you, we thank you, we thank you, we thank you, we thank you. Thank you, Lord. In Jesus' name, everybody said, amen. God bless you, everybody. If you like personal prayer, there's prayer in the prayer room in that direction. There's fellowship downstairs. Don't forget, next Saturday night and Sunday morning, our kids' production, and invite some friends to be with you. God bless you, everybody. Have a great week in Jesus.
Have a great week.